Shock Radio.
So as the record's been out a year, have you found that the songs have progressed? Have you found that you find yourself maybe on some records thinking, should we do it like this tonight, or should we do that differently this time?
Yeah, no, I still hear things every day. Little things jump out at me, things that I'm not happy with, things that I want changed. I'm never content. I'm not a particularly content individual. I'm always kind of, and I guess that's the, I think that's a good way to be as a musician, in that, like, I'm not stopping songs midway and going, that's terrible, let's do it again. But I hear things and we talk about them afterwards. I talk to the guys and go, you know, because it keeps it fresh, and it's important to keep the songs fresh. If you're doing 200 shows a year, you have to constantly be thinking about the dynamics and the arrangements. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to go through the motions. And at that point, you should probably just, like, draw a line under it and do something else, I guess. You know, it should be about constantly hearing things and caring enough about the songs and how they're articulated to want to keep them moving and keep them sort of fluid.
Yeah, and the lovely thing about folk music as a whole, and it does fall into folk music, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess in a certain sense, for sure. Yeah.
Because it's so organic, you know, what you do. There's no real element of, let's auto-tune this, let's auto-tune that. No, it's totally raw and it's proper music.
Yeah.
And I think what's nice to see, and I'd love to just get your views on this, is how that is now becoming more accessible in the mainstream. But I think a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, if you were to take a folk song, I don't know, something from Mumford & Sons, yourself maybe, and throw it to the Hungry Child audience, there wasn't as many people out there doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was less accessible. But now I think there's a big community of folk artists trying to establish themselves.
Yeah, I think that what's happened is that the, and I wouldn't even sort of bracket it as specifically as folk, I would say in the broader kind of independently minded sense, the bigger acts have sort of dropped away slightly. You know, bands don't sell really, apart from, like, you know, maybe one or two every odd year, like 10 million records. It's not that world anymore. So then you have opportunities for bands like Arcade Fire and The National to top the US charts, which 10 years ago would just not have been even, like, remotely conceivable. You would have laughed at the prospect, because that was that music and that was in that world, and it was like, you know, college radio and stuff. And then there was this other world that was, you know, populated by major labels and the bands that came from them. So the fact that there are bands that are putting in the work, bands like that, that are just, you know, making the records and going through the phases, and by the time they're fully formed, they can go out there and they don't need, you know, auto-tune. Someone can just pick up a guitar, or you know, five-piece band can sit on a stage and play something and move people enough to want to go and tell their friends about it. And I think it's all just feeds back into that sense of just it's a good time to be making music, because you don't have to have all these people that think they know what they're talking about anymore. You don't have to listen to people, which is a great thing for me. I never had to kind of listen to an A&R guy or any kind of opinion of some dude in an office. It just didn't work like that. Like, I just went and made a record with no expectation, put it out with no expectation by myself, and by the time everything had kind of come around and people started hearing it, like, I played in 350 shows and I knew what I was doing, you know. So it's a good time to be making music, as I see it.